Okay, let's get going. Hour number two. Mitchell Henderson is back with us tonight. He's with us each Monday. We're very fortunate to have someone with his vision, international acumen, and contacts all over the world. He is very, very well informed, and his forecasts are arrived at after a lot of work, a lot of due diligence, a lot of communications. He does get information both ways by seeking it out, and it's brought to him as well. We've got rioting in Minneapolis. Yawn. Okay, no big deal, and much more to come. But I want you to understand that this idea that it's only happening here, it's going to happen all over the place. We're going to talk about China this hour, but I wanted to start out with one note that I just saw fairly recently. It came out today. China is doing the same kind of thing that is going to happen here. We've already seen reports of they're trying to inculcate the ethos of a snitch culture here. They're doing it in the UK. They're doing it, I think, in Australia already. But snitch culture is here. You think of China. You don't think that they'd be doing the same kinds of things. They are. Here's your headline. China creates hotline to report citizens who criticize the state, meaning the party, or who misrepresent or misinterpret history. A new system has been created for citizens to report to the government anyone who denies the excellence of the Chinese advanced socialist culture. Is this a new Hollywood movie? Sounds like it. Reminiscent of Orwell's dystopian 1984, in this new mechanism of state surveillance and control, accent on the K there, control, normal Chinese citizens can also inform the government of anyone who is, quote, spreading an incorrect interpretation of history. So, there you go. You know, the old saying, as China goes, so goes the U.S. Well, it didn't used to be that way, but it will be soon. So they're taking the lead. No surprises. Mitchell, welcome back. China is not a good place. I refer to it as the kingdom of killer ants, but I think it's far worse than that. And they're showing it every time I look at the news from China. Something else pops up. Welcome.
Thank you. Let me start with a little anecdote about China. I was there in 1996. I was in Guilin in the southern province of Guangxi. And they had this weird thing. In the town, you go into a bar. They never had any bathrooms in the bar, no urinals or anything, which means everybody has to go out around the back of the bar to the side of the bar in order to urinate. Okay. So they had these guys with like little Mao suits and Mao hats with a red armband with some Chinese writing on it. And they were the urine police. And what they did is they went around and collected $2 from everybody that was, everybody that was caught peeing on the street because there's no bathrooms. They charged $2 for it. So
it's a clever country.
It's weird.
Revenue raiser.
Okay, let me start out today. I'm going to start out with some psychological warfare because what I did before was just kind of talk about the generalities of how they do it. But let me get into some specifics because they're applicable to what's going on right now. Okay, so where we're at right now, psychological warfare is so pervasive that I can without reservation tell you that anything of any importance that the government, our Marxist medical authoritarian state, and its media, medical, and academic lapdogs say are all lies. The narrative of your life itself has been constructed for you. In my book, A Man Beyond His Mission, by Mitchell C. Henderson, available on Amazon, because it describes the why and the how of the government and the culture and why they lie to you and how they lie to you. Mm-hmm. So I want to give some examples of some psychological operations. Remember that the strategy of cultural Marxism, where we're at today was done through the inevitability of gradualism. Okay?
Gradualism. Remember that. Gradualism. It's the frog in the pot.
Right. Exactly. Good. Good analogy. So in the early 1980s, when I was a cop in Tampa, I noticed how the media twisted narratives. For example, if a white cop shot a Hispanic man, the news would read, "White cop kills Hispanic man." But when a Hispanic cop killed a black man, the newspaper said, "White man kills black man." So Hispanics get promoted to white people if they kill black people. Another example of this is the George Zimmerman, Trayvon Martin case. The news called George Zimmerman a white man that murdered a black man. But Zimmerman is just half white and half Peruvian Hispanic black. So he's a black man himself. Okay. So Zimmerman was promoted from a half black man to a full white man. Okay.
Well, how about the camel? Right? She's not half black anymore. She's Asian American. The camel.
Vice president.
Yeah.
Kamala. Yeah, her dad wasn't going with the whole black narrative thing for her. And he was the one who was supposedly black. But if you've lived in the Caribbean, you'll know that, like, from Jamaica, there's white people in Jamaica, you know. They may be a very small minority, but they are there. Okay, so let's look at the domestic terrorists that they report. In 2014, when Jared Lobner shot Gabby Giffords in Tucson, Arizona, I was in St. Petersburg, Florida. The St. Petersburg newspaper said that Sunday that they talked to Laudner's friends and acquaintances, and they said he was a leftist extremist. That was the last time that was printed. After that, Laudner became a mentally disturbed man. Okay. Since the ghastly, nightmarish wanton slaughter at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, I'm being facetious about that.
Yeah.
With such a deeply disturbing and terrifying trauma for every single American, there have been three so-called domestic terrorist attacks. Okay, so I really think that what happened on the January 6th was chicken shit, and it was blown way out of proportion by the mainstream media. Okay, so first, a white guy in Atlanta
It was all planned to do that. That was the plan, of course, yes. And Trump went right along with it, and he invited all those wonderful, true American patriots to come and peacefully protest, which they had every right to do, knowing that only the cream of the crop would basically make the trip, pay the money, and come, so they could all get their pictures taken and databased, which is what they did. And then they were set up and drawn into the Capitol. It was the whole thing was a setup.
Sure, it was.
You know all that.
It's propaganda theater. Okay, so a white guy in Atlanta killed six Asians and two white people because of his sexual addiction. The press said that it had to be an anti-Asian racist attack, which it simply was not. The guy told the cops right away why he did it. Meanwhile, in New York City, all of the attacks on Asians are done by black men. The videos make that obvious, but the reporting does not say anything about the race of the attackers. Finally, a black guy is caught brutally beating an elderly Filipina woman. As soon as he is arrested, they say he is mentally ill. Mentally ill man, and therefore not a racist. Okay,
and who made him mentally ill, Mitch? I'll bet they're going to, if they want to take it a step further, it's white television made him mentally ill.
Oh, probably.
They can take it as far as they want. Oh, yeah.
Sure. So during the Colorado mall shooting, killing 10, it took 3 days to name the man who they arrested on the scene. Whenever the newspaper is reluctant to name the shooter, you can know that it was a Muslim, okay? In this case, a Syrian Muslim refugee named Alisa, which in Arabic means of Jesus, okay? It's just, that's what it means. as soon as they named him, they said that he was mentally ill. Okay. Mm-hmm. So all leftist terror in America is this mental illness. Okay.
Of course.
It's not terrorism. Okay. When the next heinous attack on our democracy, when a guy named Noah Green rammed his car into the Capitol barricade, got out and stabbed the Capitol policeman to death, well, after it, all, it wasn't a heinous terrorist attack because Mr. Green was a black man, making him just mentally ill, as they described him. Mr. Green said that he did it for Islam, but they don't care what he says because he's just mentally ill. Okay.
Right.
So you can see the very obvious psychological warfare because they so badly want to control the narrative that they label things for us. In short, if a white man does it, it is domestic terrorist attack and a hate crime. If a person of color does the exact same thing, they are just mentally ill and it is a love crime, I suppose. Okay. So we had the threat of drugs, crime, and poverty and declared war on them, which declarations of war on the American people were declarations of war on the American people. Well, after 40 years of war, all these problems got worse, not better. So they had to declare war on something scary that they actually controlled because they don't want something scary they can't do nothing about because it makes them a government look bad. So they, if they can control it, then they'll do it. And this was the Islamic terrorists who worked for the CIA. 9/11 was that boogeyman. They had to do that because nobody seemed to be afraid enough of the boogeyman of climate change to give up their freedom. So now we have a new boogeyman to fear, and it is a straight white males. Due to the color of my skin, my gender, and my sexual preference, I am both a white supremacist and a domestic terrorist, whether I like it or not. The fact that I am not does not matter because they say even if I don't think so, in fact, I am unconsciously a white supremacist, and unconsciously a domestic terrorist. How afraid are you of me, America? I have plans. I intend to watch a movie before I go to sleep tonight. You should be afraid, very afraid.
Oh, plotting.
That's my plot. So there's new Orwellian lexicon in English. For example, rigging an election is saving our democracy. Passing federal legislation to enable election rigging on a large scale is called preserving our democracy. Okay, if you are white, you are unconsciously racist. Okay, I wonder how they can read your unconscious mind, let alone read a conscious mind, right?
Oh, man.
In the New York Times on March 5th, it called the mostly peaceful protesters insurrectionists, although they were peaceful compared to anything that Antifa or BLM does. It accuses Christians of trying to overthrow our government and labeled, and this is in the New York Times, labeled January 6th, quote, a faith-based initiative. Okay, that's what their attack was. It was a faith-based initiative. That's a new Orwellian term that they use. Okay, an article in the same New York Times labeled Biden steps up federal efforts to combat domestic extremism, concerns over militias and white supremacists. It said that foreign terrorists are no longer a threat to the USA, and Antifa and BLM are absolutely not a threat to America, in spite of all the rioting, burning, and attacking and beating people that they do. Resources and funding now go towards tracking down and spying on white people. On March 4th, there was March 4th, that's right. White supremacist violence to put Trump back in, but there was none. yesterday, Sunday, was supposed to be a White Lives Matter marches led by the Proud Boys or terrorist organization all over the United States. Well, none of these marches took place. Only counter-demonstrators showed up with no demonstrators to counter-demonstrate against. People who believe that white supremacists, that white genocide is taking place, or white replacement, are said to have white panic. Okay? That's another word that's on
white there. Panic. All right.
White panic. You're panicking at real threats. Not fake ones, okay? So let me explain. The global war on terrorism was run by the CIA. So the CIA encouraged the passing of the Patriot Act, which in effect, made it impossible for any federal agents or confidential informants to infiltrate any terrorist organization, because even all of the mundane and nonviolent actions that you have to do to infiltrate an organization was made illegal. Carrying a life sentence, often. So it made it impossible to actually infiltrate Islamic terrorist organizations. Since the CIA had the full control of terrorists and their attacks, on innocent, civilians, they simply did not want anyone to find the truth. Islamic terrorism was controlled, led, funded, equipped, trained, and financed by the CIA. There is a name for this in CIA jargon. It is called, quote, the management of savagery. Okay? I mean, the CIA actually has a word for it, a term, a phrase for it. Okay, so we were never that afraid of the Islamic terrorists. 9/11 deeply affected people in the New York City area, but the rest of America just saw it on the news. Then the 2008 crash came, and Americans were deeply affected what our own government did to us. The crash was intentional and planned, okay? In fact, there is no great threat of white supremacist domestic terror. So according to the New York Times, a domestic terrorism bill must be passed, making it impossible to infiltrate any domestic terrorist organization, so that the lie they're telling us will never be able to be investigated. This is how our government works. However, the law will be so broad and so ambiguous that millions of white people can be imprisoned for life under the due process of this white genocide bill. Okay. Biden is directing all of our intelligence agencies to spy on white supremacists, which is defined as anyone who is a straight white male. Since military veterans pose such an extreme threat, the Veteran Administration is taxed with screening white veterans to see if they are white supremacists. Okay, why would your medical provider be asking you political questions? I don't know. But this is a directive from Biden. Of course,
remember this.
Mitch, one thing.
Remember those questionnaires that they were giving our sons and daughters in elementary school about their home life? Same thing.
Yes, that's fine. Yeah.
Do your parents ever fight? What programs do your parents like? All this crap. Just data gathering, data mining, trying to get something so they can go into a household as, I guess CPS type people and destroy a home. That's all they're doing. They were setting these poor children up to rat their parents out without the kids having a clue. And now they tell the kids when you're in high school, if your parents do something that makes you feel uncomfortable, you need to tell the high school counselor right away. That's what they tell the kids. If your parents discipline you or make you unhappy or do anything to make you less than comfortable, you need to tell the school. That's the end of the family right there.
Well, yeah. As a kid growing up in the Cold War, they used to tell us horror stories in school about how in the Soviet Union, kids are required to inform on their parents and stuff. And how lucky we are in America that we would never do such a thing here. Well, here I am many years later, Cold War's over, America's communists, and they're trying to get our kids to snitch on us and stuff, okay? So Health and Human Services, who runs Social Security, Medicare, stuff like that, they're also supposed to screen you to see if you're a white supremacist. But this is messed up because, you see, if you're a straight white male, you're a white supremacist, period. You're unconsciously so. So I don't know why they would even question it. If you're a straight white male, they've already made the conclusion about what's going to happen. And in the newspaper, it said, these people will not be allowed to travel from state to state. They will not be allowed on public transportation. They will not be allowed to have a passport or to fly outside the country. Okay. This is like the internal passport system of the Soviet Union, and even China has internal passports. Okay.
Well, did you see the?
We have to go anywhere.
Yeah, we have to roll into a break. Did you see the story yesterday of the? I think I put it up yesterday of 2018 of a smartphone screen with a passport on it. A COVID-19 passport in 2018. This was so well planned.
Yes, very well
planned. Yeah, that's all. It's all like shooting fish in a barrel. Hold on a minute, Mitch, and I'll be right back. Hang on. Okay, let's get right back to our visit with Mitch on this Monday. Go ahead, Mitchell.
Okay, so what I'll do is about Hollywood brainwashing, and I want to speak about one movie, one series of movies. It's Mel Gibson and Lethal Weapon, okay?
Yeah.
And I want to say I always enjoyed those movies and stuff, but the brainwashing is there. So Lethal Weapon 1, 1987. The bad guys were Vietnam veterans and special forces types, people that are, again, bad men. They're domestic terrorists now. Lethal Weapon 2, 1989, the bad guys were white South African diplomats. So white people are the bad guys now, too. Lethal Weapon 3, 1992, the bad guys were former police officers. If you listen to the news today, they're saying that domestic terrorists, the threat to America, the actual threat to America, is former police officers, combat veterans, and white people, okay? White racists. Well, if you're white, you're racist. So that's part of their new definition. Notice that this list includes all the groups that the Democrats want to label as white supremacist terrorists. It's the complete thing. In Lethal Weapon 4, made in 1998, the bad guys were the Chinese. But so who is it that making us think bad of the Chinese? Was it virus, the China virus? Did that make people hate Asians? Or was Hollywood doing this all along? You know, it's a question.
Well, it's a chicken and egg question. Results the same.
So let me three update, and let me just tell you that there's been a change. I've noticed a big change, and what that change is in my sources. My sources used to just be dispassionate about it and say, well, this is what's happening, blah, 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 okay? And give me the information. It's not that way anymore. Now they're freaked out.
Excuse me, Mitch, hold on.
Yeah.
This is really interesting, everyone. Mitchell Henderson has sources, as I mentioned, as you know. And his sources are, in his own words, freaked out now. Now, these are not the kind of people who freak out unless there's a damn good reason for it. I just want to make that clear. Go ahead, please.
Well, they're terrified that we're sitting on the doorsteps of a thermonuclear war. They're not just terrified of it. they're absolutely sure it's going to happen. They can't see how it won't happen. Let's start with the Ukraine. The massing of Russian troops on the Ukraine border is picking up speed. Among the equipment is higher tech equipment. The massing of troops and high tech equipment was caused by Biden shipping high tech military equipment to Ukraine and a promise of NATO exercises to be held in Ukraine with Ukrainian forces. Also, Ukraine wants to join NATO, which is an existential threat to Russia. The Pentagon is actively cooperating with the Ukrainian general staff to do war planning. Turkey is supplying Ukraine with drones, and Russia has warned Turkey to stop. Turkey wants the Crimea to go back to Ukraine, supports Ukraine joining NATO, and has declared that it is closing the Strait of Bosphorus to undesirable shipping. Closing the Bosphorus to Russian shipping is a blockade, and by international law, is an act of war. Okay. Meanwhile, Turkey allowed U.S. Navy ships to pass into the Black Sea to help Ukraine and threaten Russia. Okay, so Putin attempted to speak Biden, and this is from a very inside source, okay? Putin attempted to speak to Biden to defuse the war that's been building this weekend, but Biden refuses to talk to him. Oh, great. We have a kindergartner for president. I'm not going to talk to you. Biden has promised President Zelensky of Ukraine that the USA would fight Russia with the Ukraine. But NATO is not all on board. Germany refuses to get involved in Ukraine and is opposed to Ukraine joining NATO. Other nations that will not fight are Estonia, Poland, Czech Republic, Slovakia, and Hungary. They simply do not want to be nuked. And they don't think that NATO has any business in Ukraine anyway. Okay, so let's look at the balance of forces as of today. Okay, Ukraine has three Army Corps total. Okay, so let me just break down what a corps is. In a corps, you have three or four divisions. Each division is about 8,000 to 10,000 men. Okay, then in the division you have three or four brigades. Okay, then each brigade you have four battalions, and each battalion you have four companies. Each company has four platoons, so forth. Just to give people an idea of what the size of these are. Okay, Russia has two Army Corps already in the Donbass breakaway region, plus two Army Corps of Donbass rebel soldiers. Russia has nine Army Corps massed on the Ukrainian border and one Army Corps in Crimea. That is the Ukraine with three corps and Russia with 14 corps. Now, Russia has much more. They've got a total of 70 combat divisions. So, you know, this is not their entire army that they're sending over there. They have other interests they have to protect, too. Okay. So guess who's going to win that battle? And if NATO gets involved, Russia's already said he's going to push the button. If the United States, U.S. troops, which are on Ukrainian soil at this very moment, we have U.S. troops there. And, you know, if they get involved in combat, Putin's going to push the button. Okay. Russia's not like us. They will not fool around. When they say they'll do something, they'll do it. Okay. No half measures for them. They know how to win. Okay.
Right.
We know how to lose. We've been losing since 1990 was the last time we won a war. Okay. Everything since then has been an utter complete failure due to the social justice warriors and political correctness of our military. Okay. So as soon as the USA gets actively involved, this war will go nuclear. Do the American people know that 215 million Americans will die to support Ukraine? let me ask, what does Ukraine do for us? Why are we going to die?
Right.
We die as a result of the woke control freaks that are the Marxist Democratic Party and the fantasy pretend world that they live in, for their smug arrogance, to support their smug arrogance? Dmitry Kozak, a spokesman for the Russian Defense Ministry, said the beginning of military action in Ukraine would be the beginning of the end of Ukraine. What Ukraine is doing is a self-inflicted wound, not a shot to the leg, but a shot
suicide.
To the head.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they're doing that to themselves, okay? So today, Biden has said to Russia that there will be consequences for Russia if they act recklessly in Ukraine. UK said that they want to join in. Biden does not get it. Russia is not afraid of a bunch of woke snowflakes. They think the Democrats are evil and satanic. They are fighting God's enemy. You have to understand. Uh-huh. Yeah. Russia's fighting the enemy of God in America and NATO. Okay, because they are decadent, immoral. They hate religion, blah, blah, blah. We are everything that Russia is not. Okay? So
one other quickie.
Okay.
Russia is moving or has already moved some of their top of the line. We're talking technology here, military tech, not just men. They have great soldiers. They really have a wonderful military, if such a word applies to military. But don't underestimate them. Listen, Ukraine will be stepped on like a bug. That'll be the end of it. It won't last long. Boom. The Russians are moving in their Iskander missiles, which are probably the best tactical missile for any kind of a ground war. It's a superb weapon. That's just one. But they're prepared, and they're ready. They're all set. So make no mistake about that. Okay, now this is not only Biden on orders from his master Obama, but it's Blinken also warning Russia. There'll be consequences. What are you going to do? Go over there and slap Putin with a couple of white gloves?
Ridiculous.
They'll
call him a bad name.
Yeah, a bad name. That too. They're going to call him bad. Here in Taiwan now today, just to help you lead into that, you already knew, China flew not a few planes into Taiwanese airspace, 25 planes today, right into Taiwan's airspace. They are escalating this by the day. Go ahead.
Well, that's what China's been doing this for a long time. This is what you call in the military, like if you have an opponent, you probe the enemy's lines to find where his weak spots are. Okay,
right.
So China's Navy and Air Force has been doing that for years now. But, you know, what has happened is it's just like that inevitability of gradualism. What they've done is they've gradually crept closer and closer to Taiwanese, to the Taiwan landmass. They have crept closer in the air and on the sea. They're holding exercises closer and closer to Taiwan. So
right.
Just, you know, one day it won't be an exercise. It'll be an actual attack. Okay. And China's already said that Taiwan is something that they're going to take back. They are going to take it back. The Chinese Military Commission says it's got to come back. Now, China has to do it. It's the next step forward. They'll fail in their project if they do not take Taiwan back. It has become essential for them. And this is because of internal pressures. They can't feed the people. There's flooding. There's just disaster.
Oh, they need
disaster.
Land. They need expansion. They need Lebensraum.
They need land.
That's right.
They do.
And they like Australia a lot. Lots of nice land there.
I had to share that with some people because that was very... But see, Russia knows that China can expand into Siberia because only 30% of Russians live east of the Ural Mountains. So
that's it?
Big. And there's all kinds of resources up there and stuff. So China has its eye on there, and Russia knows that. I mean, they're not foolish. Okay. So the Chinese analysts that I talked to, they have no more joy, no hope that there will not be a war. Their attitudes have changed, and they have become very serious about what is unfolding. They know that a war with China is both inevitable and soon. Okay? I usually don't like to put timelines on it, because the day that you attack, whatever country you are, that is one of your most closely held secrets, okay, is the day of attack. So we're not going to get a warning. It's just going to break out, okay? So another area where Biden is really messing up bad is Afghanistan. So the USA made a treaty with the Taliban. The Taliban would not give refuge to any international terrorists, and the USA would withdraw troops by May 1st. Our objective in the war was to ensure that Afghanistan would not be a haven for terrorists. Mission accomplished with Trump's treaty, okay? The Taliban control 80% of Afghanistan. Now Biden has said that he will not take the troops out by May 1st. Breaking a deal with the Taliban would mean no deal or further talks, ever, okay? That's just not their culture. They don't renegotiate, okay? A deal's a deal for them. If you break the deal, they hate you, okay? The Taliban are planning right now to exterminate all U.S. and NATO troops in Afghanistan. That will be their negotiation. If we get bogged down in Afghanistan crisis, both China and Russia would take the opportunity to launch a war while we were tied down in Afghanistan. Okay, because we would be, the government would be expected to send troops in to rescue the troops that are there. Like the last British invasion of Afghanistan, they killed all but one man. They let one man go back into India. What was India then?
That's right.
Now.
That's right.
But it's one man alive to go back and tell him what happened. Okay, so they killed every single British soldier and civilian and diplomat. They killed them all. Okay, we may be repeating that history. You know, it's just incredible. It's incredibly what he's going to do. You know, it's like when I read the foreign news and stuff, it's hard for Americans to understand. It seems that people in other countries, they know that this is an illegitimate government that rigged an election to get into power, okay? They are not afraid of these people. They think America is so weak and so stupid that our leadership is not even living in reality, okay? And one of the things that I learned in the military is military intelligence, okay, the truth is the most important, because the truth about what the enemy is doing and stuff is of what they call a force multiplier. It helps you win the battle if the more you know about the enemy, the way the enemy thinks. Well, our enemy knows that we don't think. We have a group of people who live in a fantasy world of woke smugness. Okay, can just, like everybody in the world is supposed to be like us. They're like in high school or something. Like, they're the popular kids in high school, and everybody should just listen to them and follow them, no matter how vapid and inane their thinking is. No nation on this earth is, you know, that it matters, is afraid of the United States. China is not afraid of the U.S. military. Russia is not afraid of the U.S. military. You know, I don't even think Turkey is afraid of the U.S. military. Iran's not afraid of the U.S. military. You know, most of the people we have to deal with, they think we're incompetent and incapable. And in my following with military developments and stuff, what we did is we sold out our national defense for social engineering. We have social justice warriors running our military. I mean, for crying out loud, our Secretary of Defense says, well, we got to get rid of white supremacists from the military. Well, that means straight white male. And I got to tell you, straight white male are the fighting men. They are the guys.
They're the
they
best
are your
we
special
have.
Forces.
That's
they're the
it.
SEAL teams, the Rangers, the Airborne. And most infantry units are like 90% straight white males and stuff. When I had my cavalry platoon of 40 men, there was only one black man in that whole platoon out of 40. Okay, the mm-hmm. rest of them were like white rednecks. Then when I had a company, I only had a couple of people of color in my troop. That's 200 men, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So in all my career, in all the times that I was stationed in a combat arms unit of actual, like, infantry or cavalry or something like that, these are white people. So I just have the question, who's going to do the fighting to defend this country?
The gangbangers from the inner cities who go into the military. There's our new frontline troopers. MS-13.
Yeah.
Hey, look, there are gang members in every branch of the U.S. military now. There are chapters in the military. This is what I'm told.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they've been doing it for years. They've been doing it for 20, 30 years. They've been intentionally sending. They'll get a new gang member and they'll try to keep him kind of straight so he can get in the military, so he can get the training and stuff and come back and train them. Okay. So this has been going on for some time. And actually, I'll give you a good example. They said that veterans are the people who are at the threat of being the domestic terrorists and stuff. Well, I have talked to many groups. I've met people in many groups. I've met some people in some pretty extremist groups, okay? And I'm there to report, to find out, whatever, to talk with them, to see what's on their mind and whatnot. Well, every veteran that I have met in one of these groups, I found out that none of them were veterans. They're people who claim to be veterans.
Really?
They are not veterans.
That many frauds walking around? Wow.
Yeah, they're all over
that's,
the place. Well, I knew this
bad.
For a long time because I used to have people walk up to me all the time and say, oh, yeah, I was in the Vietnam War in 1976, you know? And I'm like, I'm sorry, mm-hmm. but the war was over in 1973, so... there must have been a pretty kickback war for you since there was no war there at that time. There's many times they can't tell me what unit they were in. And, you know, every soldier or anything knows what unit they were in. They always know. They always know where they were stationed. They always know that kind of stuff. These guys don't know. They have no idea. You know, they'll tell me that they're from the 9th Infantry Division in Vietnam and they were stationed up at Da Nang and stuff. Well, they were not. The 9th was down at Canto. They were not up in Da Nang. So I think they think that most people, because they don't know, they think other people don't know and they can snow them. But I've run into that problem that, you know, maybe it's fake veterans that are the problem. Because I haven't ran into any bona fide veterans that you know that join up these groups and stuff. So you know, it's just all a lie, Jeff. It's just all a lie. It's what's the purpose of the lie? Well, the purpose of the lie is Tucker Carlson said. He said it's canceling. It's white replacement. That's what he called it. White replacement is what's going
on.
Well,
he's completely correct. Of course he's right.
Right.
Sickening.
So you can see the propaganda has been working towards genocide. You know, for me personally, it's kind of a pain in the butt because when I flew back into Oakland Army Base after the Vietnam War, I was treated like absolute dirt when I got back to America. When I went to college, I couldn't tell my college professors or any students that I was a veteran. They said, don't say that, don't say that. I even put on job applications that I had been hitchhiking around Europe or something. You know, anything but in the Army.
That's bad. I've heard this.
When I was in the
this...
Army, it was over. I was not getting the job. Mm-hmm. Even police officers harassed soldiers and veterans like crazy. I mean, it was like they were always on you and stuff. So the typical Vietnam veteran, when he got back, he didn't want to tell anybody he was a veteran. They wouldn't wear, like, veteran regalia or anything like that because, well, they were going to catch crap. When I dated women, I would not ever tell them that I was a veteran in college because that's going to, there will be no date if they found out I was a veteran, okay? So here I am now in my... You know, my years, and once again, the veteran is the evil, bad guy in our society. The people that go, and you know what, I have to just tell people, I had friends that they wanted a life. They had girlfriends. They had wives. They wanted to have a family. They wanted to live life, have a job, a career, make a nice home with their wife and stuff like that. And they ended up dying in some shithole, third world shithole somewhere for this country's politicians, okay? And then to see the ingratitude that we get, I assure you that the ingratitude that our country gives to our veterans is going to destroy us in the next war, because who's going to go fight for us? If they trash everybody that fights for them, who's going to fight for them?
Who's going to fight for the Biden-Obama Bolshevik Zionist woke presidency? Who's going to fight? Who's going to die for that?
You know something else that Biden did that was really annoying? If you get your veterans disability compensation. I'm 100% disabled, but according to them, I'm still capable of being a terrorist, even though I'm 100% disabled. But anyways, they directed that we are the last to get stimulus checks. They didn't want to give veterans stimulus checks because they didn't want us like buying bus tickets to Washington, D.C. and taking it back over or something. You know, it's just like the crappy way that they treat it. And now the VA is going to be, you know, questioning me about my racist views and stuff.
We've got to run. But let me ask you one quick question. Is the VA now beginning to try to profile veterans like that with sociological questionnaires and interviews? Are they trying to find out who the patriots are? Are they doing that? I bet they are.
They said, if you went to war, you have PTSD, we'll give you 100% disability. And then you can't own guns or buy a gun. You're on the no-buy list. Yes. Now, I thought this was rumor, but I got a copy of Disabled American Veterans Magazine. And the magazine had an article in there saying that, yes, the VA is pushing everybody to claim PTSD so they can
psychologically
put them
unfit
on the no-buy list for mental issues.
I get it.
You see?
I get it. All right. God, this is bad. Bad, bad. Thank you again. This is invaluable information for everyone each Monday. We have just the best audience out there, and we're all knocking ourselves out to take care of you good people so you can make the best choices in your lives. The DARPA folks, by the way, are now coming up with a new implantable device, right? This is a secret DARPA project out of the Pentagon to create a special microchip that they're going to insert under your skin, Mitchell, so it will go off if you come into contact with COVID-19, and you'll know. How about that? Huh? They're going
to
chip you, so you'll know if you get it.
I am like 0% worried about getting COVID.
There's no way. It's a real question about whether there really is a COVID. I mean, what happened to flu? It sounds like to me a lot of flu has simply been reassigned to COVID-19. I'm not sure there is a COVID-19. I think there is, but it's nothing to worry about if there is. It's all lies.
No, it's not. Especially in Michigan, that they've had almost about 100 people get seriously ill with COVID after they got the vaccine, people died.
Yeah, many people are allegedly getting COVID after being fully vaccinated. I think they're getting the flu. That's me. All right, hold on a minute. We'll be right back with another hour. Thank you, Mitch. You take care. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Welcome.
Okay, good night. Be right back.